This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to komando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
I always like to start with something fun, and this qualifies as a fun story that you're going to want to pass along to your family members and friends. And it comes to us from the International Space Station. After an eight-month search on board the space station, a tomato lost has been found. That's right. I don't know how big this thing is. It can't be that big, but they actually lost a tomato. Astronaut Frank Rubio was growing tomatoes as part of an experiment to see how plants could grow in space. The tomatoes obviously grew successfully, but one of them floated away. For 8 months, this tomato was lost in space somewhere, but they found it. Yes, thank goodness. And speaking of tomatoes, what type of tomato smells the best? What type of tomato smells the best? Anyone? Anyone? Aroma. Yeah, that was a great one. And they only get better, I hope. With that happy news, I'm Kim Komando, America's digital goddess, here with you once again. You found the biggest, the best show, the most trusted source for all things digital. And you're about ready to get more tech smarts because every single thing is now a tech thing. And of course, you can find me on over 420 radio stations across the United States. You can find us as a podcast, as a webcast, 24/7, 3 months worth of archives over at komando.com. Just hit that button that says Komando Community. And a special shout out goes to all of our listeners on the American Forces Network Radio, serving more than 375,000 American servicemen and women in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, and Space Force in 175 different countries. And I know that you have some questions for me. You always do. And that's why our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. Now, I need two things from each and every one of you. One, the best way for me to grow this show is for you to tell one person about the show and podcast. Just one person. That's it. And number two, I want to get your feedback. Tell me what you want to hear more of. Head over to komando.com and hit the link that says email Kim. All right. I just love this and I do it every day for you. I visit at least 40 different websites. It used to be 35, but I've added some to my list to make sure that I'm up to date on what's going on in the tech world so that I can give you right now the top five things that are happening you need to be aware of. And let's see, would you work a little harder if you knew that a tip was going to be coming your way? Well, as it turns out, it's not just with service personnel, it's with ChatGPT. Tipping them? What? That's right. A programmer by the name of Thea Vogel gave ChatGPT a little test, prompting it with the question she needed some help coding with. She told it a few different things. And one, she said, I'm not going to tip you, by the way. Another one, she said, I'm going to tip you 20% for a perfect solution. Then she said, I'm going to tip you $200 for a perfect solution. She did this five times. What do you think the result was? Well, you know what it is, because I'm talking about it. ChatGPT's response were 11% longer with a promise of a $200 tip, 6% for $20. When she didn't tip, it was so short, she said it didn't even help her out. Which, by the way, you can't really tip ChatGPT. It's just a figure of speech, so to speak. And after all, OpenAI, the makers of ChatGPT, you know what that company's worth right now in a year? Ready? $89 billion. Whoa, $89 billion. Moving on to number two, this is just a sad state of affairs that we're living in today, folks, I'm telling you. In West Virginia, there was a foreign exchange student staying at a house. She's 17 years old. Guy's name is Daryl Wells and his family. She had her own room and bathroom. A few months into it, something strange happened. Wells said he needed to fix something in her bathroom. Later, the girl found a towel hook with a hidden camera and an SD card on the inside. Yeah. The towel hook was a spy cam. Law enforcement found that Daryl collected 100,000 secret photos and videos of her. The guy was 51 years old. She's 17. Really super creepy. But it takes another twist. The girl sued Amazon. Why? Because Wells bought the spy towel hook on their site. And she says, hey, you know what? You shouldn't be selling this crap. And Amazon says, we were shocked to find out that that product did such a thing. And then the judge said, shocked is right in the product description. So anyway, it's going to court. I just wonder how much money she's going to get to go away. It's going to be some big bucks there. 100,000 videos. A sicko. Moving on to number three, Grand Theft Auto fans. Super happy this past week. The trailer dropped. More than 100 million views. It beat Mr. Beast's record for the most YouTube views in 24 hours. Grand Theft Auto will be coming out in 2025. I know you're impatient, but don't fall for this trick. Cyber criminals are making fake links to try to trick you into downloading some nasty malware, saying that, oh, you can get Grand Theft Auto right now. Okay, one fake download is installing 18 gigs of viruses. Oh my gosh, 18 gigs of viruses right into your PC. So remember, the game comes out in 2025. There are no links out right now. Moving on to number four, some big updates for your Google products. We're going to start with Google Maps for Android Auto. It can now save your parking location. It's going to pop up when you navigate to a destination on your arrival screen. You just tap the Save Parking Location button and your parking spot saved. Bingo, bango. Love that. Especially you're going to be traveling because, you know, you park your car at the airport and you come back like, I don't remember where you parked it. Do you? So if you don't have that option, just make sure you take a picture of whatever's around it. You know, normally some numbers in a parking garage. Next up, Nest Cams. Google's fixing some issues that have been popping up with night vision, but that means no more blurry photos. And another feature, your Nest Cam will now tell you if you leave the garage door open. You can set the duration for how long the door stays open before getting an alert. Sends a snapshot and a video when it opens and closes. That's going to cost you some money, $8 a month. Yeah. And finally, this coming in at number five, the most popular holiday travel destinations per Google. They put the list together and Google Flights released the data this past week. They say the most searched spots from December 20th this year to January 5th. We're going to start at number eight is Los Angeles. Number seven, Paris. Oh, I'd like to go to Paris. It's kind of cold, though. Six, Orlando. Of course, Disney. Five, Honolulu. Yes, I want to go back to my little grass shack. Four, San Juan. Three is Tokyo. You know, we've been talking about going to Tokyo. It's probably too late for us to plan it, though. Number two is Miami. And also London and New York. They're all tied for number two. And the number one vacation destination for the holidays per Google Flights. You ready for it? Anybody? Anybody? Cancun. Yes, Cancun, Mexico. And speaking of, what is Mexico's favorite operating system? What is Mexico's favorite operating system? Anyone? Anyone? Tacos? Get it? Like tacos? Tacos? Oh, I know. If you got to explain it, it's just not that funny. I'm sorry.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Okay, if you run a business, you just know how annoying those credit and debit card fees are, right? I mean, it just keeps going up and up and up. Well, Mitch Goldstone is right there with us. He has a company called ScanMyPhotos.com. It's been around for a really long time. It specializes in digitizing physical photos. You know what I'm talking about. They take your old printed photos, negatives, and slides, and then they bring them into the digital age. Well, over the years, businesses have obviously changed because of new technology. And he noticed that something was off, right? Business was getting easier for credit card companies like Visa and MasterCard to have customers use those companies in order to take credit cards. I mean, it used to be that if you wanted to accept credit cards, you'd have to go down to the bank, okay, fill out this long application, and then maybe give them $20,000 to sit in the account just for the privilege of being able to take Visa and MasterCard from your customers. But these fees, right, they just kept going up and up and up, even though it was easier and easier than for companies to start taking Visa and MasterCard from their customers. So Mitch did something really bold, okay? He became the lead plaintiff in a massive lawsuit against credit card giants because he said, we need to have fairer charges. And they won. Okay, listen to the settlement. $5.5 billion. Oh my gosh. $5.5 billion. This is record breaking. And Mitch is here with us on the show to share his incredible story. So, Mitch, when did you decide, like, hey, I've got to do something about this?
Sure. Kim, you know, one of my favorite quotes from you is you must innovate or
evaporate.
Evaporate.
Yes.
Must innovate or evaporate. And my business partner, Carl Berman, and I started way back 1990 owning retail photo labs.
Wow.
In Southern California. So developing film, selling film, and printing pictures. But as technology changed over the years, and this is more like a digital life hack story, is technology changed. Everything went down. The cost of everything went down, except, as you pointed out, one component. So it's one of the largest fees that merchants have, the credit card fees. Kim, I have a prop. So you're too young, but these were credit card carbon copy receipts that you had to swipe, and it actually have, and this is why it was called swipe fees, where you have to swipe the credit card and then mail in carbon copy receipt.
Wow.
To get processed and paid. And it took days. And that's what these swipe fees, interchange fees, were designed for.
What were the fees then? I mean, right now we're talking what, anywhere between 2 and 3%?
They are. And that's the problem, Kim, because as an e-commerce company, we don't know what card someone is using. So when someone places an order at scanmyphotos.com, I don't know if it's a signature premium card or a debit card. But so there are all types of fees. The only way we know is with the monthly statement. But the fees should have gone down, especially with debit cards. You know, the banking online now where you can transfer money, there's no
sure.
cost for it.
So how did you get a law firm to buy in?
So every 6 months, we would get a letter, just like millions of other merchants, saying the fees were going up. Curiously, the same day we got the letter from Visa, we got the identical one from MasterCard, both raising rates at the same time. I did a little research that's called collusions, price fixing, and this board of directors on Visa were the same board on MasterCard, and they were both owned by the banks. The banks owned Visa, MasterCard. So as soon as I filed the class action suit, which was the largest in U.S. history, Visa and MasterCard announced they're having a separate board of directors, which was awesome because it proved we were right.
Right.
And the next thing, as you may know, Visa, MasterCard went public. So they weren't owned fully by the banks. And then 18 years later, we have this $5.5 billion settlement for merchants.
18 years you've been at this. Wow.
18 years. I would fly back to New York, Southern District, New York, as well as Washington, D.C., having all types of meetings. I remember once the judge said at year 13, Mitch, this is your legal bar mitzvah. And that was a long time ago.
So how much money are we talking about? I mean, the average small business owner, medium size, I know it would be, is it dependent upon how much you transacted or is it, I mean, can they go back that far in the records?
They do. And it's interesting because we're already getting information from a lot of the companies we used in the past for transacting the fees. So they know all of this. And it's really cool because they know someone's not going to get a letter that wasn't a merchant that accepted Visa and MasterCard. So it could be thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands for large companies. It's just all based on that. And because it's so large, millions of merchants, it's going to take some time, but then a check will arrive.
And who will the letter be from?
It should be the payment card settlement website. So, or it should just say payment card settlement for that. Forgive me, I've been going through so much, and I was actually in the review process for the claim form. We made sure that there was a barcode to make it super simple for businesses just to fill out for that.
Is there a website where folks can go to learn more?
There is. And scanmyphotos.com. We are posting updates constantly. But the main one and the only one that merchants should go to is paymentcardsettlement.com. That's the official court-authorized singular only place to go to. All the information is there. Everything you need to know. It's really simple. I want to say it again because I don't want people to go elsewhere. It's paymentcardsettlement.com, and that's the official court site.
Well, Mitch, thanks for all your hard work for everyone on, gosh, I still can't believe 18 years. Wow. That is something. Total commitment. What a wonderful job that you've done. And thank you for being here. And again, that website is paymentcardsettlement.com. And in case you want to help Mitch pay for his 18 years, head over to scanmyphotos.com. Mitch, always a pleasure to talk to you.
You're the best. Thank you.
I still can't get over 18 years. That's really something. Okay. Ever notice how your phone doesn't seem to hold a charge like it did when it was just fresh out of the box and had that new phone smell? Well, that's because batteries degrade over time. And yeah, it is unavoidable. But what causes that battery to drain? Okay, too bright screen settings. Maybe you have some bad apps. Maybe even extreme temperatures, whether it's too hot or too cold. And don't forget, this constant charging, letting it go from 100% to zero, 100% to zero, that can really do a number on your battery too. So if you want to see how much life your battery has lost, here's what you need to do. If you're on an iPhone, head over into Settings and then Battery. See, sometimes things do make sense. Settings, Battery, and then tap Battery Health. And then there you're going to see this really great percentage showing your battery's current capacity. Now, what's a good capacity? What's a bad capacity? Okay, below 80%, that means that you need to contact Apple about a battery replacement. You may be able to get that free. And if you have that, do it now, especially if you have relatively new phones, so it's under that warranty and guarantee. Now, if you're Android, it's a little bit trickier. You have apps like AccuBattery that can give you details on your battery's health. And if you need these instructions, you need these links, just head over to commando.com and in that search box, just type in battery health.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to recycle. You want to segregate the everyday trash, divide plastics from paper, you know, the whole shebango. But there are some things that you can't put in the trash or your recycle bin. Batteries, especially lithium ion or nickel cadmium types. They power our phones, our laptops, our tablets, cameras, power tools, smart toys, you name it. There's one of those batteries on the inside. Now, these just can't be tossed into the trash or the recycle bin. You really have to take them to a hazardous waste collection center. And maybe even just a Staples or Best Buy because they sometimes have these bins out front. Now, what about your TV? Well, it's packed with glass, lead, hazardous materials. It's not meant for the landfill, folks. And don't forget those old glass thermometers. If you still have one, it contains mercury. Bad idea. So you don't want to toss that in the trash. Whatever you do, don't try to break it. I know it's tempting because you get those little balls running around. Don't do that. All right, let's see. Linda in beautiful Prescott, Arizona. Glad to have you with us.
Hi, I'm so excited.
Well, thank you.
I listen to you all the time, so this is kind of neat doing it live.
Awesome.
You want to know what I'm calling about?
Yes.
Okay. I've been asked to pick up the scheduling for a nonprofit organization, approximately 50 volunteers.
Okay.
The bulk of them are seniors. Some of them are very senior. So it needs to be really user-friendly. This has all been manual up to this point.
Ooh.
They've been using Excel, emails, phone calls. You know, and life happens. Things have to change and all those things. have to start all over again. There's got to be something out there that can help put the data in that everybody could access, make changes up to a certain number of days before the date that they're scheduled.
Linda, let me ask you a question. So these volunteers, what exactly are they doing?
Well, there's three positions each day for each shift. So there's one that works the mercantile, sells and that type of that thing. There's one or two guides. That's the second position.
Okay.
And then there's a board member. So there's three positions each schedule.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. This is really easy. You know what?
Oh, good.
You're going to because I hear your frustration. You're like, it's an Excel spreadsheet. And then all of a sudden, Donna can't make it and Bob can't make it. And
right. And then, so you have to put emails out to everybody to try to find somebody. And there's just, it's got to be easier than that.
No. Those days are long gone.
Okay, good.
You know, there's a great website called Sign Up Genius. Sign Up Genius.
Okay.
You create sign-up sheets, volunteers, they choose their slots. And what you're going to love about it sends automatic reminders. Okay.
Perfect.
You can set deadlines for sign-ups and any changes or cancellations. People in the administration area that they'll be automatically notified. And it can also have like, you know, this is a person, you know, Linda's always a person that's a good backup. So you can have like those type of folks there.
Oh,
it works if somebody's on Windows or Mac.
Okay.
It also works on Android and iPhones. So there's nobody's
so
going to say
access it from their phone or for their computer.
Yes.
Either way.
So it's not like somebody's going to say, sounds great, Linda, but I'm on Windows and I am never getting an app for my phone for that.
Yep. That's going to be said.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it too. It's like, you know, come on, you know, really. You know,
and it would be easy for even my 80-year-old to be able. Okay,
yeah, really simple stuff.
Okay.
It's really simple stuff. It's, you know, it's just because when you were talking about it, I was thinking I got an email this morning because, you know, I send out these free newsletters. Do you get my newsletters?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Okay. So
I actually saved some of them.
Oh, good.
That's a problem, but I'll use that.
I'll use that one day. But I got an email or I got a comment back this morning that said, and I know who, I mean, I don't know who it is, but I can just see the person. But he wrote something like, Kim Commando, like with a big exclamation mark. Like, you know, you keep writing about phones, and you put it like 20 times, okay? It's like, I only use Windows 10, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, welcome to the world, okay? So,
yeah, exactly.
There's only so much we can do with that, buddy, okay? So again, Sign Up Genius, try that. If you want to look at something a little bit more, I want to use the word robust, maybe a little bit harder for people to use. Just look at Volunteer Scheduler Pro, Volunteer Scheduler Pro. But I think Sign Up Genius is going to be the ticket. So, but just in case, I like to give people options. Volunteer Scheduler Pro. Linda, thank you for your call today. I appreciate you getting through. Hey, speaking of volunteers, yeah, you know it's coming. Whenever I say that, speaking of, brace yourselves. My local soup kitchen is looking for volunteers for their next pasta dinner. That's right. My local soup kitchen is looking for volunteers for their next pasta dinner. I'll check my calendar and set aside some time for it. Bad. All right, let's talk about ways that you can preserve family memories this holiday season. I'm talking about the stories that your older relatives will be telling you. What you want to do is, number one, is you want to start filming them telling their stories. I mean, holidays without my parents now, let me tell you, it's so incredibly difficult. But I get peace of mind and some warmth by watching videos of them. So if you haven't recorded your older folks and your family, do that now. You want to choose a quiet area with natural light. And sit to the side of the camera and have your relative actually look at you. Because looking right into the camera, sometimes jarring for the person speaking as well as future viewers. So just like a little bit off camera. And then maybe have some questions ready for them. Set up a tripod. There's an affordable Amazon Basics tripod. It's light enough to carry around. It stacks up to 50 inches. And then there's also a flexible phone tripod that's a tabletop option. Back up all your clips in the app, desktop, physical drive, and then you can share it. You can also put it up on YouTube under a private link. We've got links to more ways that you can do this over on the website over at commando.com.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
All right, Ed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
It's an honor to be able to talk to America's digital gods.
Well, thank you, Ed. You're so kind. You're so kind. How can I help you?
Well, you're so deserving. For the past 10 or 12 years, I have occasionally been receiving mail for a lady named Joan with my last name at my address, and she never existed.
Oh.
So it finally irritated me enough that I did some checking on the internet, and I found that she is listed as owning my house.
Oh.
And depending on the site that I look at, I either died 9.5 years ago, or I'm married to my mother.
Oh, no. Okay, let's just set the record straight. Okay, number one, you're not dead. Number two, you didn't marry your mother. Okay, so.
Yeah, it's not legal in my state. So. Yeah, so I need help eliminating a person that never existed and bringing me back from the dead. little background, my dad and I had the same first and last name, different middle initials, and he did pass away 9.5 years ago, so they have confused us. They listed me as deceased when
yeah,
him.
That happens.
And, mm-hmm. and then, they have him still living, but with my middle initial and married to my mother, so.
There was no Joan in the picture?
Joan never, ever existed anywhere.
All right. When you go to your county website, does it say that you own the house or does Joan own the house?
All the legal stuff only lists me.
Perfect.
But
okay.
But the things like Ben Verified and Fast Background Check, those digital mm-hmm. checkers, they have it incorrectly listed as her owning the home. Now, I actually called one of the credit card companies, checkers like Experian.
Sure.
And they did some checking, and that person does not exist.
And you have your credit locked down, all that other good stuff?
Oh, it's really good. There's no problems. When I receive the tax bills, it's only in my name.
Okay. But as far as, like, have you froze your credit?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
I would freeze my credit just because I want to make sure that there's nobody out here that's going to be trying to do any identity theft. Right?
No, it's been going on for about 10 or 12 years that I get an occasional mail for her. It's never anything personal. It's always just mass mailing. So there's no problem that way.
Okay. So probably what's happening is in some of these big public databases, is that somehow Joan got associated with you. We're not sure how, even though the person doesn't exist. And if the information is incorrect, like you said, on some of these people search sites, is that there's normally a way that you can go in there and in the contact us or the help section, you reach out to them, explain the situation, and then ask for it to be corrected. As far as with mail, you know what that deal is. You can just say, not at this address, and then do return to sender. You can also notify your local post office by going down there and saying, I'm getting mail for Joan. There is no Joan here. And then they can just stop it from even coming to your mailbox altogether. You know, I'm glad to hear that the incorrect information is not on actual public records, because that would mean a whole nother ball of wax. You know, it's really hard to say why this happens. And it becomes more of an annoyance more than anything else. But I still would freeze my credit if I were you, just because it has happened where my husband had in Florida somebody who said that he was married to her, him. Okay. And I'm like, oh, that's news to me. Right. So, and she went to the dentist and she got $15,000 worth of dental work. You know,
wonderful.
Yeah. Like, gosh, she must have beautiful teeth. So, anyway. But she was trading on his last name by saying, you know, with a different name. And I did not take my husband's last name because I'm Kim Komando. You know what I mean? I'm always going to be Kim Komando.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out there just for you to think about. But again, you can contact these websites together. If you can identify where the information is from initially, which public records database, which online directory, which aggregator, and I know that's very difficult, but that's where you could go ahead and ask them to correct it. But again, I think it's more of an annoyance right now, but I would still take some ID theft precautions just to always be on the safe side. And Ed, thank you for your call today. It was wonderful talking to you. Let's see, who's up next? Jim in Kihei, Hawaii. Aloha, Jim.
So I read a recent one of your newsletters where you talked about dealing with Amazon. I don't remember all the specifics, but mentioned some of the issues people have with packages, et cetera. But it didn't really cover the two common problems that I have. One is when items never arrive, but Amazon tells you it was delivered. And the second case, which actually we had happen to us recently, is where the wrong item arrives. So we ordered a $10 item, and instead of sending that item, they delivered a calendar, which we didn't order. And
that's so frustrating.
It really is. And it, of all the buttons you can push, track package, return or replace item, share a gift receipt, write a product review, a lot of these delivered items in my orders thing don't have a get help button. Some of them do, and I think that's fairly recent. But I'm just wondering if you have like a shortcut to tell them what they tend not to ask you, which is, I didn't get something, or I got the wrong thing.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, there's a magical button, and you have to know where to find it. Okay.
Okay.
Is that basically you go into your orders, and then you can say report an issue. And like you mentioned, sometimes it's always not evident that what your issue is not on that checkbox on that list. And so if you go to customer support on Amazon.com, is that they're going to say, okay, you can chat with one of our representatives. If you look closer in little tiny letters, it says, we can call you. Yes. Okay. So you give them your phone number, and honest to goodness, if you have the, and it's always helpful if you have the order number handy. And so the rep calls you, and it's so great because you can actually speak to a human being who can, and you can say, I didn't get what I wanted, or I got this when I wanted this, or it arrived broken. Do you really want me to send back 12 candles that are full of glass? I mean, let's think about this. And so that's where I have found a lot of help is having that ability to have them call you. You know, it's interesting, Jim, because I just recently taught my husband how to do this because he was so frustrated with something that he bought. I'm like, just have them call you. He's like, Amazon's not going to call you, Kim. I'm like, yes, they will. Okay, now you owe me a back rub because that's the way it works. So, so give that a shot. And, you can always give feedback on the issue too on the product page. But I think if you can just know that that phone number is there and you can talk to a human being, and that it really does take the frustration out of dealing sometimes with Amazon. And Jim, thank you for your call. And mahalo. All right. They say that more than 40 million Facebook accounts belong to people who have passed away. And if you're wondering what happens to your account, you do have some options. You can choose to have it removed entirely or turn it into a memorial page. That's a great option. With a memorialization page, friends can still post messages and share stories that bring smiles or tears. But you have to do one thing. You have to set up a legacy contact who can control, who can actually see the page and what comments will be posted. And they can also pin some important posts. They won't be able to see your private messages in case you're wondering about that. So be sure to set up a legacy contact while you're thinking about that. You can do that inside your Facebook settings. All right. Do me a solid. Tell three friends about the Kim Komando Show and our podcast, because everyone needs more tech smarts and knowledge is power. And you can always find me at Komando.com.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.